what's going on. So thrilled that you are here today. If we haven't met, my name is Clay. I'm one of the pastors that's here. And we're in a series called God at the Movies. That's why we're showing this movie Independence Day. We're going to look at a couple of things here. But before we roll into that kind of idea, I want to give you a couple of things that are happening here at Next Level real quick. And the first one is this. Next week, following our second service, we have some really cool stuff we want to talk to you about, some great God things that God's been doing. So we're going to have a town hall meeting to kind of share some of those things immediately after this service. So about 12:15 or so inside this space. We'll go for about 45 minutes. We'd love if you are a part of Next Level and want to know what's going on here. We really want to be able to share some really good news with you. And so if you can come be with us next week, that would be fantastic. And then if you are a guy here who likes to do guy stuff, you really like that. We're going to have something. We didn't want to call it a guy's retreat because guy's retreats, most of the ones that I've gone on are pretty lame. So we're going to do an ultimate men's weekend. It's a guy's weekend where we're going to get together. We're going to camp. We're going to hang around a fire. We're going to eat pig. We're actually going to do a whole hog roast. And then we're going to, if you want to fish, you can fish. If you want to ride on four-wheelers, you can ride on four-wheelers. If you want to get on the gun range where we're going to be at and blow up watermelons, then you can do that as well. So basically, we're going to talk about God, eat pork, and blow stuff up. So come join us. During that time, seriously, if you're looking to connect with other men here and go on a deeper journey of what it truly means to be a man and be a Christ-following man, and I think, you know, the church really needs some guys to step up, then come join us. It's going to be a fantastic time. If you go to nextlevelchurch.org, go to the news tab, you'll see the Ultimate Guys Weekend that you can sign up for there. So this is week two of a series that we're calling God on Film. And what I love about doing these types of series is movies and books and such, stories in general, have a way of just calling to us sometimes, don't they? There's just themes that happen inside of them, and they just speak to us in some sort of way, and films can really, really do it. And the reason that it speaks to us, if you've ever wanted to know, is there are some general spiritual themes that God has just put into play. And sometimes our stories, they tap into what those spiritual themes are, and we feel drawn to those. So what we're doing as we go through this series, looking at some of the hot movies that are out during the summertime, and we're going to look at what some of the themes are in those movies and begin to pull them out. So last week, we talked about Star Trek. This week, we're talking about Independence Day. Next week, we're going to talk about Jason Bourne, and we're going to end it with the summer blockbuster ultimate movie, Secret Life of Pets. It's awesome. And it's between that and Finding Dory, and we kind of went there. And so what we're doing, though, again, guys, is we're pulling themes out. And so this movie, if you haven't seen it, it didn't do that well in the theaters because it came and it went. But this is the continuation of the original movie, Independence Day, that happened 20 years ago. Can you believe that? That the original Independence Day is now 20 years old. I hate saying that I've seen anything 20 years ago. So this movie is a continuation. So what has happened, if you remember the first movie, aliens came, they big and they were bad, and they blew everything up in the world, and all hope looked lost, and then somehow we found out their weakness as human beings, and we won the war. So this movie takes place 20 years later. We've been preparing for the battle. We've adapted some of their technology into our technology, and now we sit and we wait, and then the aliens come, and they come bigger and badder than they ever had before. I'm not going to ruin the movie. But inside of the movie is something that I want to talk about. Inside of the movie, there is a character. His name is Jake. And Jake has gone through fighter pilot school, and he got kicked out. There were some things that he did that caused him to get kicked out, but he kicked out. And so in this movie, he is now like a cargo pilot just trying to figure out what he should be doing in this world. And the whole time that he's being a cargo pilot and doing this, and he feels like he's created for a higher and bigger purpose. He feels like he should be doing something greater and something bigger, but yet he is not. So he's trying to fill that gap with all kinds of other things because he just has lost his purpose. And I think a lot of us, we can identify with that kind of theme. You know, how many of us, you don't have to raise your hand in this, but how many of us, you've worked at a job, and it's just a terrible job. And the whole time you've been working this terrible job, you think, why in the world am I working this awful, terrible job? And you don't like it, but yet you do, and you have this thought, once you've worked it long enough, is this it? Like, is this what I was created for? Is this my life's purpose, to get up and come to this crappy job and to do this and to make money for people that I don't really even like to begin with, to wake up tomorrow and do it all again? Have you ever had that moment where you thought, there's got to be more to life than this? And I think the reason movies that talk about this theme of living for something bigger and wanting to be a part and attach ourselves to something bigger, the reason that hits us really at home is because we truly are a generation now that is growing up without a purpose. That we don't know what our purpose is. That we're traveling kind of meaninglessly through life, picking different things here and there, and we're letting other people tell us what our purpose is, and we're trying to figure out our own purposes, and it's just not working out for us. That ultimately, we just look all across the vastness of our neighborhoods and where we work and the people that we play ball with and the things that our kids go and student things, and we just go, wow, it just seems like no one really is playing for something bigger than themselves. That no one is participating in something that is some great, grand story. And that's why movies like Independence Day, we get that because in the movie, Jake finds something, and he finds something that is bigger than himself, bigger than what he thought, bigger than even dreams he had for himself. And we all, something inside of us, wants to tap into something that says, I am here to make a difference, to live for something that is bigger than that. I just need to figure out what it is. But all across everywhere, people are living for smaller things. And so they set their purposes and they think, well, my purpose is my career. My purpose is my job. Or maybe it gets a little bit better than that and something a little more meaningful and say, my purpose for living is my family. Or my purpose for living, you know, is this relationship or that. But ultimately what happens when we live and we try to determine our own purposes for life, we wind up being sorely disappointed. We wind up getting to a place where we're like, it's just not working. And sometimes we can get angry at God and we can shake our fist at God and say, why in the world would you put me into this world and just create me to be nothing and do nothing? And it's because we haven't discovered truly what it is that God created us to do. And we're living for smaller things, but we were created for so much more. And I think that's the tragedy of life, is to go through life and not know why you are here. So as we begin today, I would ask you this question. If we were able to sit down for lunch, how would you answer this? What is your purpose for life? What is your purpose for life? Now, I get this, not something that you think about on a daily basis. You have jobs, you got things you do, but this is a very, very important question. Why am I here? What is my purpose for life? Because I believe that all of us as human beings were created to discover what that purpose is. And sometimes it's hard to find. Even King David, who wrote in Ecclesiastes, he's trying to struggle with this whole idea of finding purpose for life. And Ecclesiastes is a great book to read. Let me summarize it for you. If you're under 40 and you read Ecclesiastes, you think, this dude's depressed, he needs medication, you know, he needs psychiatric care. When you read it after 40, you go, this dude understands life. He's got it, right? I mean, it's just kind of the perception of things. So in it, though, he's trying to figure out, and he says this in Ecclesiastes early on, he writes, how can anyone discover what life means? And maybe you've been there. Maybe you're kind of in that struggle, like, how can you know what life means? How can you do this? But he goes on to talk about how there is a greater, grander purpose for life. But if you don't understand what the greatest purpose is for life, he begins to write out, and if I were to summarize the whole book of Ecclesiastes, what he says is, if you don't understand this great purpose for life, then life is just going to seem hard to you. That if you don't understand and you're living for all the wrong purposes that are out there, then life is going to seem useless. Life is going to seem tiresome. Life is going to seem unfulfilling. And most of all, life is just going to seem insignificant, like I don't matter. If you don't discover what the grand purpose is, why you are here. When you live for wrong purposes, it has devastating consequences on your life. But the Bible teaches that you don't have to live that way, that you can discover what true life is. And when it uses this phrase, the Bible uses it a lot, it talks about someone being lost. And I get that maybe you were before a Christian, you had trouble with this term being lost. Hey, I'm not like a lost puppy dog that's been wandering around. I'm not lost. What the Bible means is that if you don't understand your purpose, your true meaning for life, if you're still trying to be out there and found it, you're lost. You're kind of wandering around and you don't understand really what you should be doing. In that aspect, you are lost. But Jesus came so that you could be restored to God in that relationship, and he could speak to you and you could begin to understand what your purpose for living is. And when you discover that, then you get what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the latter half of that verse. He says, look, I have come that you could have life and have it to the full. You could live life, and I mean life, just living life. But the way that you get there is by understanding what your purpose is in life. And when you understand your purpose for living, then you can begin to have life, and you can have it to the full. So what we're going to look at today, if you got notes when you came in, someone handed you a note sheet, you can go ahead and pull that out, because we're going to fill in some blanks, but I'm going to give you some other things that I want you to be able to kind of write around those blanks so you can take them home and you can reflect on this, because I think today's message is really, really important. So what we're going to look at today as we dive in are kind of four ingredients, four essential things, four things that you need to begin to explore, that you need to acquire in your life if you're going to understand what your ultimate purpose for living is. And so let's dive right in there. If you got your notes, pull that out. My true purpose in life is, and the very first one, is I need to find power to live on. That if you want to find your true purpose in life, if you want to be able to explore this, number one thing you need to do is you need to have an energy source that stands outside of yourself. You need to have some sort of power that you can live on, because all of life, if you haven't figured it out yet, you haven't lived long enough, all of life works against you to drain you, to sap you of your life, to take away. That's why when we end the workday or we end the work week and we get to the end of whatever time period you want to get to the end, you feel drained. It's because life works against you. Stress robs you of power. Conflict zaps your energy. Frustration takes away your strength. And just everyday work tires you out. I mean, right? Don't you find that to be true? You get to the end and you're like, I'm just worn out. So if your life wears us out, you need an energy source. You need something that stands outside of you so that you can be empowered to continue to do your mission and your purpose. And we're all looking for different ways to have energy. I mean, that's kind of the popular thing now, right? Everybody wants to have an energy source. And so they talk about, hey, eat this food because it's an energy food. And you eat this way so that you have energy. And you exercise this long so that you have energy, right? Everything's about energy these days. Everybody needs more energy. We have 5-hour energies. You have extra strength 5-hour energies, which I haven't quite figured out. Does that mean it goes 6 hours? It's extra strength. Is it 6-hour energy? I don't know what it is. And then, I mean, some of you have Red Bull. Some of you have Monster drinks. Some of you drink like an obscenely too much coffee because I've been around you. It's just, you jitter all up and everything. Like, you know what it is. Like, you wake up in the morning and go, I got to have an energy source. We all have something. We're plugging away and I got to have energy, got to have energy, got to have energy. But if you're going to live out your purpose, those things, they're temporary. They don't last. God wants you to live out a purpose, and he will give you an energy source that stands outside of all of that, and that energy source is himself. Isaiah chapter 40 says it this way. Even youth will become weak and tired. I mean, that's for those of you that have preschool kids, that's like a hope you can hold on to. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. So eventually, everybody gets worn out. How many of you are there? You're exhausted, you're tired, you're worn out. Yeah, you can admit that, right? We're worn out and exhausted. So young men will fall in exhaustion, but here's the good part. Those who trust in the Lord will find not an old version of strength, not the strength you had when you were a teenager, not a strength when you had when you were younger. You will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of energy? New energy. That you could soar. That you could run through life. That you would have energy that would not drain out. It would not wear out. That there is something out there that stands outside of you and have that energy source. But what this verse tells us, and many other verses in the Bible tells us, in order to gain that power from God, you have to spend time with God. And I will tell you that it is directly proportional to the amount of time you spend with God is the amount of power and energy you have in your life. It's just the way that it works. So if you spend a lot of time with God, you have a lot of his power in your life. If you spend a little time with God, you have a little bit of power in your life. If you spend no time with God, then you have none of his power in your life. It's just the way that it works. You have to spend time. You have to focus on God and turn your focus to God. In the Bible, we have a word for focus on God. So when we say focus on God, we use a different word. It has the same meaning. We say worship. That worship is focus on God. And worship is more than just singing songs. That's why here at Next Level, you hear us, we don't talk about, you know, music being, we don't just say, hey, worship with us during song. The reason we say that is we want you to understand worship is not the only form, music is not the only form of worship. That you can worship God when you read, you can worship God when you pray, you can worship God when you serve, you can worship God when you give. That worship is just focus on God. And we were all created to worship, period. And if we don't turn that focus and that worship to God, then we turn it to other things. We turn it to other people and other stuff that is out there. In our culture, we have lots of things that we can worship. Beyonce is one of the biggest hits going on right now. It's hard to get a ticket to her concert. She's selling concerts out all over the place. And people are going crazy to get tickets. Have you seen the viral video of the kids who bought the mom the tickets for Beyonce, right? And the reaction? Let me show it to you. Let's watch this.
Who?
You're going to see
Beyonce. Who?
You're going to see Beyonce.
Who?
Tonight, right now.
Shannon!
We're going to the Beyonce tour.
Shannon, I know you're lying.
Mom, we're dead serious.
I know you're lying.
Mom, we're going to see Beyonce. The stadium's right here.
That stadium right there.
She ain't there.
Mom, dead.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
We're going to see Beyonce.
We go in here.
I wish we could get that excited about church. Church! Church! Right? The reason I show you that is because as a culture, we're wired to worship. And if we're not worshiping and focusing on God, we will find someone or something that we get so excited and pumped up about because we were created. We were hardwired to worship. And so God says, look, if you want to find your purpose in life, you want to find energy in life, don't focus on these other things. Don't focus on sports teams and individuals or careers or jobs. Focus on me. Turn your worship and your focus towards me. And here's one of the keys in Psalms chapter 62. David writes it this way, I will wait quietly before God. I will wait quietly before God. In other words, I'm going to put my focus on God. I'm going to do exactly what I've been talking to you guys about for weeks now. I'm going to get together just me and God and Scripture, and I'm going to sit, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to listen. I'm going to get quiet. What do you have to say? I'm going to wait quietly before God. Why am I doing that? Because my victory comes, where does victory come from? From Him. That when I spend time with God, I gain victory over whatever it is that I'm facing. Whatever struggle that I'm going through, whatever thing that I'm going through, it is in spending time with God that you get the power and the energy to overcome that, to have victory over those things. Listen, and if you worship God, He will begin to show you what your purpose for life is. And He will give you victory over every obstacle that stands in your way between you and the thing that He has created and designed you to do. We have to come in and focus on God. That's why I love church. That's why I think you should come to church every Sunday possible that you can be here. Because when you come to church, what you are saying is, I'm going to set aside all those distractions, all those things that kind of are banging around my mind, and I'm going to take this hour, this time, and I'm going to focus on God. And I get that you can watch podcasts, and I get that you can do that. Some of you are listening to this podcast right now, but you can still do that and be distracted. I think it's good to come into a body, a local community, and make it a regular expression and a regular part because it sets you aside from the distractions and allows you to focus on God in a way that you can't outside of that. And it is in focusing on God that He will empower you. So the first way that you find your purpose in life is to find power to live on. The second thing is to find principles to live by. You need a deeply sought out philosophy of life. You need principles to live by. And if you don't allow God to establish what those principles are, someone will establish them for you. It could be a spouse. It could be someone you're in a relationship with. It could be culture at large. Someone will begin to determine your philosophy of how you live. And if you're going to live on purpose for God, if you're going to discover what His purpose is, you need to have the principles that come out of Scripture. You need to be spending time with what this says, and you need to be focused in on it and listening and looking at it, and then having the strength and the courage to say, God, give me the power, again, I'm spending time with you, give me the power to live according to that principle. You see, people who have purpose have principles. And so much of what is in here, I get it, goes against what culture tells us to do. And if you don't have principles, culture is going to tell you to go in a certain direction. But God's word, many times over, will say, no, I need you to go in this direction. I need you to go in this direction. And again, we're linking back to the first thing. If you spend time with God, you will have the power then to live out a principle that says go this way. Culture says get as deeply in debt as you can, spend everything you've got, do this. God's principle says, no, I want you to live on less than you make, and I want you to do well in life. Culture says just do whatever you want to do, say whatever you want to say. God says, no, no, relationships are important. Don't destroy relationships. Value the time with your relationships. You get that by having power. So you need power to live by. You need the principles that are here. Psalms 119, verse 19 says this, I am a pilgrim here on earth. If you got your YouVersion out, you can highlight that verse or you can underline it if you actually got a Bible there. I'm a pilgrim. That means I'm just kind of passing through. I don't belong here. I'm a pilgrim on this earth. I need a map. And your commands are my chart and my guide. In other words, we're just passing through this life. God sees it all. God sees it all, and this becomes the roadmap for how you succeed in life. This is the thing that helps you avoid the traps that take you to the places that you never want to go back to. So again, you need power to live on. You need principles to live by. And then the third thing is you need to find people to live with. You need to find people to live with. Not only are you energized by spending time with God, and not only do you get principles, but you need to live those out in a community of people. We are hardwired to exist in relationships with other people. That's how God made us. When you begin to study some of the cool things in theology, one of the conversations you will have is how God Himself is three in one. You've heard this thing called the Trinity, meaning God exists in three persons. What that means is God already had built-in community. He has community with Himself. And when we were made in His image, then we are to have community. And here's the interesting thing. If you go all the way back to the beginning, and man is put into the Garden of Eden. God creates man, it's Adam, and he's there. Again, he's got a perfect relationship with God. Sin hasn't stepped in yet. He lives in a perfect world, which I imagine had to have been a beach involved, because you can't be perfect without a beach. And so, the perfect world, perfect animals, perfect, everything is perfect. And then God looks down at Adam, who exists, and there's no one else, there's no other human being but Adam, and He says these words, it is not good for man to be alone. Well, he's not alone, he's got you, God. No, he needs other people. It's not good for him to exist alone. I have created man so that he would be in relationship with others. God created us to need other people. That's just the way that we're wired. And when we spend our time isolating ourselves and cutting ourselves off, we're working against what God has set up for us. One of the studies I was reading was studying the effects, not of people who live in complete isolation. They were studying the effects of people who have only acquaintances in their life, just people that they relate to at work or they wave hi to a neighbor, people that have no close relationships is what this study was looking at. And what they found out is that if you have no close relationships, you are three times more likely to die an earlier death than someone who has close relationships. You're four times more likely to suffer what they called emotional burnout, five times more likely to be clinically depressed, and 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for emotional or mental disorders. Why? Because you were created to be in relationships. Ecclesiastes says this back in chapter 4, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone, what does it say? They are in real trouble. They're in real trouble. And I say this all the time at Next Level, guys. You need to get out of the rows. You're sitting in rows right now. Get out of rows and get into a circle. Get into a place where you can be eyeball to eyeball and build relationships. Because once you need relationships in your life, if you haven't already built them in, it's too late. I was with a couple last week, and they were dealing with the passing, the kind of sudden passing of her father. And I was talking to her about this, and I said, you're a great example because you have poured time, you have spent time with people, you have built into the relationships that are all around you, and now these people are pouring into your life. What would it be like if you would have experienced this trauma and you had not built relationships with people? You see, guys, when you need it, it's too late. By then, you have fallen down, and what does the scripture say then? You are in real trouble. And we see this happen all the time. That God has made us to be in relationship, that we help each other, not only when times are tough, but if you read the first part of that, we help each other succeed in what we do. Fortunately, God has kind of custom-made an environment for us to relate to each other. And Jesus kind of declared it, and he called it his ecclesia, his gathering. We translate that and we call it the church, a gathering of people. Jesus said, look, I'm going to bring people together. And in the coming together of the people, you will lift each other up. You will succeed and you will help each other when you fall down. When this is the way that God has set it up. But the way that I've seen it and observed it as a pastor just over many years, 20-something years of pastoring, is when life gets busy, and things begin to come on. You got all these different things, and there's kids events, and there's school events, and there's work events, and there's... When life gets busy, the first thing that goes out the window is relationships. And it begins with a relationship with God. Your relationship with God, when life gets busy, all of a sudden, I don't have time to pray anymore. Look, I can't do that. And that whole quiet time thing where I sit down, I got a Bible in my lap, and I read, and I listen. I don't have time to do this anymore, God. And so that's the very first thing that just kind of goes out the window. Whoosh, I don't have time for God anymore. Quickly following behind that is the relationships that you have with other believers in Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's the next thing that goes. Like I don't have time to have coffee with, you know, the people that I relate with anymore. I don't got time for that dinner, that lunch. I don't have time for that weekly meeting. I don't got time to go to my life group. It's just life is busy. I can't do that. I'm going to cut that out. And then all of a sudden, those relationships, whoop, out the window. And then the next thing that happens is the relationships at home begin to start souring and going south. And all of a sudden you begin to isolate yourself from your kids, from your spouse, from your parents, from all the people that are close to you. You're like, I don't got time to deal with that. I can't deal with that. I can't deal with that. And I don't want to deal with that. And then you find yourself further and further and further away from all the relationships that God has designed you to be in your life. I mean, you've seen this, right? And then the enemy comes in. Now that you're isolated, now that you're cut off, and he attacks. We've all seen the animal safari videos, right? Like the lions and the leopards, and they're on the attack, the things my wife can't watch because she's like, oh, God, it's like... They chase down the herd, they isolate one animal from the herd, and once they get that animal by themselves, then what do? They attack, and they kill it. The first half of that verse that I read you that Jesus said about life to the full, he said, you have a very real enemy, and his job, his purpose, is to steal, to kill, and destroy. He isolates you from God. He isolates you from your church family. He isolates you from your family, and now he can attack. Now he can destroy you. Now he can steal everything you have, and he can kill all of your hopes, all of your dreams. He can destroy you. God says, look, no, it's not the way. You are wired to be in relationships. And one of the things we do to fight hard against that here at Next Level, we have something called life groups. In every semester, we roll out a new series of life groups that begin. Life groups for us begin the very first week in September. There's going to be cards on your chair next week. Plenty of opportunities to sign up for a life group. If you're not connected with people, you need to. You need to get in a life group. But don't just come one time. We get a lot of people, they come one time. Come again and again and again. And if you go and he's like, I don't really like these people, I promise you, if you go 10 times, you'll like them. If you go once or twice, everybody sucks once or twice, right? Go. Spend a whole semester and go. Go and let God speak to you. Get involved in a life group. If you're a guy here and you're looking like, I want to be involved in some things, but I don't want to do the typical church things because most, you know, Christian guys I see are pansies, come sign up for one of the fire pits that my guys are hosting. I promise you, they are men's men. You're going to have some men talk about what it means to be a real guy in a real Christian environment, and that all kicks off with the Ultimate Guys Weekend. We're going to blow stuff up. We're going to show you what it means to follow Jesus and blow stuff up. It's going to be fun. Get connected. Get connected. When those sheets come out, sign up for something because you were wired to be in a relationship. Because if you fall down and you're on your own, you're in real trouble. And it's in that community that those people help you form the relationships that you need to discover your purpose for life. So, last one. Let's jump in real quick. I see the time. You need to find a passion to live for. So you're looking for the power you need, you're looking for principles to live by, people to live with, and then you need a passion to live for. And unfortunately, most people in our society kind of live accidentally. You know, they kind of float from purpose to purpose, and life just happens, and they kind of drift around. No one lives on purpose, and very few people have a passion to live by. They just kind of are doing their day-to-day thing. You need a passion. And let me tell you, there's space in your notes. I want you to write this down. God's plan for your life, how you get a passion, one of the primary ways you get a passion for your life is to serve Him and serve others. That if you're looking for some passion in your life, you're looking for a purpose in your life, you begin by serving Him and serving others. Taking what gifts and talents and abilities you've been given Him, you give them to God, and then you serve other people. And when you do that, passion will come. And we're all made differently. We're all made to do different things. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us this, that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. We all do different things. But when we take those things and we direct those different talents and those different gifts towards serving God and serving others, there's a passion that begins to build inside of us. And I know we're all looking for passion. And we all want to make sure that our life counts for something. You don't get there by staying in neutral. You get there by putting your life in drive, following after God and saying, God, what is it you want me to do? How is it that I can serve you? Because everybody here was created for some meaning, for some purpose. I love the word mission. You were given a mission to accomplish. That's what God is after with you. And one guy who really understood mission was Paul. And he wrote this in Acts chapter 20. He's talking about the mission that God had given him. He said, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. Summary, my life is worth nothing if I'm not on mission. Everything else I do doesn't mean anything unless I'm on mission. And then he tells us, here's what my mission is. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. It was his mission. It's what he was passionate about. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it is something that you should be passionate about as well. We all should be passionate about looking at our friends, our family, our neighbors, and saying, how can we rescue out of the mundane life that you're in? How can we rescue out of the pain and the heartache and all that you've been through? That is what we do. And we do that by serving God and serving others. That we begin the process of being on mission for what Christ wants for us. Now, one of the things I want you to do, I want you to kind of take a look at your notes. We talked about four different things, and I really want you to think about where's the area that I need to really become honest with God. Here's where I need your help. For some of you in this room, it may be you're not even there to start yet. It's like, I need to begin a relationship with God. Like this whole power in God in my life, I kind of got to... the step before that. That's cool. We've all been there. We had 9 people last week pray that prayer with us. They want to begin that mission with God. Maybe that's you. You want to begin that mission. But maybe you're looking down that list and you say, look, I need some power to live on. I got to spend some more time with God. And maybe that's just where you're at. You know that your time with God's been weak and you feel very little power because you've spent very little time with God. Maybe that's where your focus is. Maybe it's in that area of principles. Maybe God's been dealing with you and showing you some principles, and you've been kind of going the opposite direction, and you just know inside you're a little disobedient. And like, or maybe you just don't even know principles. Maybe the commitment is like, I need to learn a few things. I got to spend some time in here to learn what principles are. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe God's been asking you to do something. You've kind of been putting it off. Maybe you need to be baptized. You've accepted Christ, and maybe the next step for you is baptism. Like, that's one of the things that I want to be involved in. I want to be baptized. That's great. If you go to our website and look at the baptism site, you can sign up to be baptized today. You can do it online. And we'll get you set up. We're going to do a big baptism here next month. Or maybe it's that third thing. Like, yeah, I really need to connect with people. I've been isolating myself. I've been pushing off people. I've put off my relationship with God, and I really don't want to be around people. Maybe that's the area where the Holy Spirit's just dealing with you. Yeah. You need to do more than just think about joining a group. You need to make a commitment that this is what I'm going to do. Or maybe it's the fourth one. We all struggle with this. This whole idea of being passionate and serving and sharing the gospel. I get, you've seen some weird expressions of what it means to share the gospel, the bullhorn guy and everything else that's out there. But maybe God's just saying, look, it's really this simple. Why don't you just invite your neighbor? We work really hard here at a church for you to invite someone to and to create an environment where they can ask questions and they can find faith. Sharing the gospel looks different for every person, but maybe that's just your commitment. Here's what I need to do. Look down that list and then close your eyes, bow your head with me. God, show me which one of these, whatever it is, God, whatever my commitment is, Lord, help me. I want to find my purpose in life. God, I need your power. Maybe I need to spend more time with you, and Lord, I make that commitment. Or maybe I need to look deeper into your word and understand what your principles are. And God, maybe you've been asking me to do something. I know it's countercultural. Maybe God, I just need the faith and the courage to live that out. Or maybe, God, I'm here and I really need to make commitments to be in relationship with other people. Maybe I've signed up for life groups in the past and it hasn't worked out, but God, this time I'm going to build in a commitment to get into relationships with people, to be able to share faith, to look for my purpose, to help them succeed as they help me succeed. And God, for all of us in this room, God, give us a passion for sharing the gospel through our service, through what we do as ministries, but also what we do in everyday life on the ball field, at work, in our neighborhood, in family discussions. God, just help us to get past the weirdness factor and just share what you've been doing in our life. Help us to invite people into an experience where they can ask some of those same questions. God, that's our commitment. While your eyes are bowed, I want to make one ask and then we can pray. If you're here today, we had 9 people last week. If you're here today and you would like to begin the whole process just by saying, I need to accept Christ first. I need to have him in my life. I want to be able to pray with you today. I'd love to celebrate that moment with you. And again, it's not a prayer that saves you. Your heart's already there. I just want to walk you through what that experience would be. I would love to have that privilege with you today. So if you're here, I'm not going to ask you to come forward or do anything like that. But if you raise your hand, we're just going to say a prayer together. Anyone here, you want to be able to accept Christ today, we'll pray together. Yeah, awesome. Anyone else? Fantastic. So those of you who raise your hand, just your heart's already there. Just pray something like this. Say, God, I give everything I have to you. I don't really understand maybe how all of this thing works, and it seems like everybody else here has it figured out, but I want to begin that journey. So I'm giving you my life. Jesus, forgive me of all my wrongdoing. Forgive me of my sins. Come lead my life. Give me that power. God, I want to now call you my Father, and I want to move into that relationship. And the best I know how, I'm going to continue doing this. Speak to me as I give myself to you. Amen.